The views and opinions expressed on Black Talk Radio News belong to the host and guests and do not necessarily represent the views of the Black Talk Radio Network or the Black Talk Media Project.
Scotty Reed here with a Black Talk Radio News report and commentary. On this segment, we will take a look at a story about Justine Damon. I believe it's how you pronounce your name. She is an Australian national. She is classified as white in the racist system in the United States that's still practicing slavery. But I came across this article on Facebook and it just did not resonate with me. So before I get into this article, let me state a few things first. I don't care what other people think about my thoughts and my opinions or my views. I just simply don't. I do care in regards to when I'm having conversations with someone, when I'm in a dialogue with someone and we are trying to find a solution to a problem or we're just exchanging views. So I do care about what people think about my views, but in terms of me putting them out there in this sort of format in a podcast, I really don't care if people like what I say or write or what. I just really don't. So, you know, there will always be critics. But the reason I state that is because the writer of this article, I don't know this man's name. He calls himself a son of Baldwin. So I'm assuming that he is a gay black male. I'm assuming that he's a gay black male because he is choosing to identify with a black intellectual who was gay. So that's neither here nor there. But this person starts out his article, which is titled, "I Don't Give a Fudge About Justine Damon." Now, he uses a more vulgar word than fudge, so I'll just leave that to your imagination. But this person, son of Baldwin, wrote this article. I found the article to be intellectually immature, coming from a person who identifies themselves as a black intellectual. This person could have been in their feelings and emotions when they wrote this article, or they could also just be writing it for clickbait. I don't know. Only the son of Baldwin could answer those questions. We don't have him here for him to answer those questions. So let's just go over a little bit about what he writes in here. He says, "I'm going to say this, and I mean down to my subatomic particles, what I say. And I actually don't care what anyone might think about it." So there is the reason I gave my disclaimer that I really don't care whether a person agrees with my thoughts or my views at all, unless I'm dialoguing with that person, either on the phone, face-to-face, what have you, okay? Yeah, I want them to care about what I'm saying or care enough to at least listen. So, he says, "I don't give a fudge about Justine Damon and what happened to her. I don't give a fudge because most white people don't give a fudge when police murdered 7-year-old Ayanna Stanley Jones as she lay on a couch sleeping, and most white people and some black people did was blame Ayanna's family." So at least he's acknowledging that in that situation, that's a case that I was involved in, how should I say this, intimately, helping to promote the march for Ayanna Stanley Jones. When that went down, I talked to a number of activists and helped promote their rally for justice for a little 7-year-old Ayanna Jones. But here is the thing, and I'm trying to learn to use my words better so that they are an accurate reflection of reality or what I am trying to express. So look, here's the problem with most white people. I'm sure he didn't talk to most white people back then to know what most white people thought. See, we use these terms and they're just incorrect to use. Now, I could see if, let's say, there was a scientific poll done and and we called up, let's say, 5,000 white people, and most of them said that I don't care about little 7-year-old black girls getting gunned down by killer cops in Detroit. I don't care about that. Then we will have some statistical data that we could point to instead of making a generalized statement. And the reason I take issue with this is because I know this is how racist people classified as white in the United States and perhaps globally say these sort of make these sort of comments about black people. You know, most black people are criminals, or most black people don't take care of their children, or most black men are missing, and you know, just these generalized statements that are nothing but stereotypes. So I don't know what most white people think. Okay. I'm don't have that knowledge, so I might as well be honest about it. All right, so he goes on to say, I don't give a fudge because a black woman or a native woman in the identical situation Justine was in wouldn't garner support or sympathy from most white people. No, what most white people would do is look for reasons that might justify why the police officer had to kill the black woman. Now, I can understand why people feel that way. Because when we see news outlets like Fox News or CNN, and we have these race baiters like Alex Jones and his ilk, and then we have all of these people who love to troll you on Twitter or on Facebook. And, you know, still, though, I cannot say that what, how many white people are estimated to be in the United States. I would probably say somewhere around 200 million. Let's just round it off to about 200 million. I don't know what 200 million white people feel about these issues, okay? Because I'm not polling them. I'm not a mind reader. I'm not the professor on X-Men. I forget his name, where I got Cerebio. And I'm putting on this and I can read people's minds. So, no, you know, I don't like making generalized statements about other people and other groups, because I don't like those generalized statements being made about the group that I belong to. So he goes on to say that most white people rely on this ideal that black people in situations where white people are in pain are only ever to be soothing and understanding, only ever to be Mammy or Uncle Remus, only ever to extend condolences, only ever to embody loyalty, only ever to offer the empathy and sympathy that most white people purposely and haughtily deny when the situation is reversed, almost as if most white people still see us as their property. So listen, this right here is name calling. This is to deflect any kind of criticism that he knows is going to perhaps come his way in terms of what he has written here. And so, you know, he's dismissing them and planting in your mind that if anybody disagrees with me, they're Uncle Remus. Or if any black person disagrees with my comments on this post, then they're a mammy. Okay. And they're loyal to white people. Well, that's funny, because anybody knows me knows that I'm not either of those things, and that I just try to be a straight shooter and call things as I see them, based on the information, based on the data. I try to be very analytical in how I look at things. So look, I'm an empathetic person, period. I don't have to be a mammy. I don't have to be a Remus in order to feel empathy for an unarmed woman to be gunned down by a slave catcher out here in these streets. Okay. And you make reference to slavery when you say almost if most white people still see us as their property. Well, I'm here to tell you, son of Baldwin, that slavery was never abolished, that the United States has the largest prison slave population on the face of the planet, and they are the property of either the state or either the federal government or the correction corporation that they belong to, the private prison enslaver company that they belong to, like the GEO Group, like Core Civic, which was formerly known as Correction Corporation of America. So, he goes on further. It's no need for me to go on further. I find this article to be very anti-intellectual. I find it to be very immature, sort of like a tit for tat type thing. And, you know, I recently wrote a post about the counter-racist author Neely Fuller. And there's a lot of things that I disagree with Mr. Fuller on that I just can't find the logic. And some of the things I hear him say on his radio program or the YouTube clips that get published. But there is one thing, well, it's more than one thing that I do think that he made absolutely correct statements on, in my opinion. And one of the statements he made in these situations, about these sort of situations, is that it's not about black versus white. It's about justice versus non-justice. Like he said, you know, it doesn't matter about your skin color. What matters is if you practice justice or not. If you believe in justice, if you believe that the people who need the most help get help. Okay, so I find nothing just about the killing of this woman. I would even classify it as a second degree murder. It's definitely a homicide, but in terms of charges, this slave catcher, again, his skin color doesn't matter to me that he's black. He's wearing a slave catcher's badge. He's wearing a slave catcher's uniform. Now, we can point out the racism among certain white people, like the All Lives Matter crowd. You know, have they jumped up with a fundraiser to get his cop $1 million after he, which I doubt is likely because of his skin color, that he's going to be found innocent of killing an unarmed white woman. But yet these black slave catchers choose to go into that field anyway. And we don't really hear a lot about them shooting down white people because they know they'll go to jail. They know they'll go to prison, most likely. That has been the outcome. But still, though, they are in a system. They are working as slave catchers in a system of slavery that uses racism. So, you know, I could tie this to slavery and point out the fact that black people aren't the only victims of these slave catchers that's being gunned down in the streets. It's just that the mainstream media doesn't focus a lot on these sort of cases. The only reason I think this one is getting a lot of attention is because she is not an American and she is an Australian national, making it an international story. So that's why she's getting a lot of attention, and plus activists probably up there. Now, the last thing that I want to cover is, as some people put it, chess versus checkers. But as I hear my friend Dave on the Tando radio show on the Black Talk Radio Network, he talks about the Chinese game called Go, where you control space and time. That's what we need to be playing. But in the context of, or using a term that most people are knowledgeable about, this is chess versus checkers. So we saw during the 2016 campaign of Hillary Clinton, she pulled out these props, these living biological props called the Moms of the Murdered or something like that, with Trayvon Martin's mom leading the way. See, this is how they play the game versus how some black people play the game. Is so Hillary Clinton sought to capitalize and push through a political agenda, which was to get her elected president. And she used these dead black children and their mothers as campaign props to push her agenda, to say, hey, I'm empathetic and to your needs, and you listen to these mothers and vote for me. So what is Son of Baldwin's response? Is his response to showcase this white woman and say to white people that he's targeting, see, it happens to you too. It doesn't get publicized a lot, but it happens to you too. So are you going to go out there with your All Lives Matter signs? Hey, Alice Jones, what you got to say about these people up there protesting the killing of Justine Damon. Are you calling them scum? Are you calling for them to be run over by people in their cars for them protesting or whatever they may be doing? Okay. Hey, NRA, what you got to say about this woman being murdered? You know, we know you got a lot to say about black activists out there protesting against slave catchers, killer slave catchers, murdering people out there in the streets. So what you got to say again about this woman being murdered by a slave catcher with a badge? So, see, this is chess versus checkers. Unfortunately, and I understand it. It's not that I don't want to act like I don't understand. A lot of black people like Son of Baldwin are in a lot of pain. Pain causes one to get into their emotions. And certainly this system has inflicted and continues to inflict a tremendous amount of pain on people classified as black. But again, the system inflicts pain on everybody, but some more than others. And it is my opinion that if black people were able to solve this problem on their own without any allies, I think we would have solved this problem by now. Don't you think that? So apparently we need some allies. We need some people to use their white privilege, to use their whiteness to take on white supremacy, which is a function of the system of 21st century slavery and human trafficking as legalized by the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. All right. So, you know, I understand that this guy might be mad. He might be hurting. He could be just producing some clickbait. I don't know. But all I know is this article does not resonate with me. This article resonates on a much lower frequency than one I try to keep on or keep myself dialed into or tuned into. This very low frequency, even just based on the title. So do I understand his pain? Certainly I understand his pain. But we cannot allow our emotions to cloud our judgment. And so it's not about being Uncle Remus or Uncle Ruckus or being a mammy or any of the other names that black people like to call each other. It is like Mr. Fuller said, it's about justice versus non-justice. It's about whether or not I want to be a human being or I want to take on the characteristics of those who I say are inhuman. I don't need to stand up for myself or my people by stepping on this woman and saying I don't give a you know what. Because I do care. I do care about justice. I do care about ending slavery and human trafficking, which has empowered these slave catchers to do what they do. And part of what they do is gun down innocent people in the street. This has been Scotty Reed with the Black Talk Radio News Commentary and Report. Remember, you can find more commentary, not just my commentary, but the commentary of other independent media producers at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Join our social media community, btrcommunity.com. If you follow us, if you're on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel so you can get an alert whenever a new video is published. You can also subscribe to our page on Black Talk Radio Network, which is on Facebook. And follow us on Twitter at Black Talk Radio. Continue to support the production of independent media by making a donation to the U.S.-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. This is Scotty, and I'm out. Peace.